We are back, and when we recorded our last program, there were three major candidates running for the office of President of the United States, and now there's two. You may have noticed that a few days ago, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dropped out of the race. This was certainly within his rights, and frankly, we applaud him for it. It's what came immediately afterwards that leaves us shocked and horrified. For the remainder of this segment, we will mostly delve into some fine work done by Ben Mycelis at Midas Touch, a YouTube channel we've mentioned before and will no doubt mention again. Now, as we understand it, and it will be delved into these clips, Donald Trump called RFK fairly recently and I guess dangled the prospect of joining his administration. Afterwards, apparently, Jr. called up the Harris campaign to see if he could get a better offer. And when they didn't take his call, he called Donald back. Now, the men have apparently been talking for a while. In fact, a phone call took place a couple of months ago, wherein Donald J. Trump was apparently trying to butter up Bobby Jr. And luckily for posterity, Robert F. Kennedy III decided to record it and make it available. Mr. McMillan?
A secret audio and video recording of a phone conversation between Donald Trump and RFK Jr. has leaked on the phone call. Donald Trump is heard behaving kind of like a wacko. I mean, not really surprising, but when you hear it on audio, it's fairly jarring. Donald Trump professing anti-vax views to RFK Jr., seeming to ask for RFK Jr.'s support and endorsement. Also talking about the phone conversation he received from President Biden. This audio and video recording was released by RFK Jr.'s son, Bobby Kennedy III. I'm going to play for you that video in just a moment. RFK Jr. has confirmed the validity of it and has apologized for his son leaking it in an unauthorized fashion. Bobby Kennedy III, RFK Jr.'s son, wrote the following when he posted this video clip. He said, "I'm a firm believer that these sorts of conversations should be had in public. Here's Trump giving his real opinion to my dad about vaccinating kids. This was the day after the assassination attempt. If I violated some kind of law in posting this, my only wish is to have Dr. Anthony Fauci as my cellmate. This is not a cheap fake or somebody doing a Trump voice. This is the real deal. He could have picked a unity ticket. Instead, he picked JD, fire all the unvaccinated nurses, Vance. Two parties indivisible under Pfizer with liberty and justice for some." Here's the video right now. Let's play it.
I agree with you, man. Something's wrong with that whole system. Yeah. And, and it's the doctors you find. Remember I said, I want to do small doses. Small doses. When you feed a baby, Bobby, a vaccination that has like 38 different vaccines, and it looks like it's meant for a horse, not a, 10-pound or 20-pound baby. It looks like you should be giving a horse this. And do you ever see the size of it, right? It's this massive. And then you see the baby all of a sudden starting to change radically. I've seen it too many times. And then you hear that it doesn't have an impact, right? But you and I talked about that a long time ago. I would love you to do something. And I think it would be so good for you and so big for you. And we're going to win. We're way ahead of the guy. And, he's interesting. He was very nice, actually. He called me. And he said, how did you choose to move to the right? So I guess that's, people see, if I was looking straight on, right? He said, I was just showing a chart. I didn't have to tell him the chart was on all the people pouring into our country. But I just turned my head to show the chart. And something wrapped me. It felt like a giant, like the world's largest mosquito. And it was. It was a bullet going right. What do they call that? An AR-15 or something. That was a big gun. Those are pretty tough guns, right?
Shortly after that was posted by Bobby Kennedy III, it was removed. RFK Jr. then issued the following statement. When Trump called me, I was taping with an in-house videographer. I should have ordered the videographer to stop recording immediately. I am mortified that this was posted. I apologized to Donald Trump.
All right, let us pause it right there to note that Trump and RFK Jr. are apparently not identical in their views, but Trump can certainly say some crazy things about vaccines, particularly as they relate to schools.
So when Donald Trump gives public speeches, one of the lines that he repeats over and over again is he says that he is not going to give a single penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate on anything, which would seem to invite polio and other very, very serious diseases back into the schools where your kids and grandkids go. This is what Donald Trump says at all of his events. Play the clip.
I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
And just so you see, I'm not cherry picking one of the times Donald Trump says this. I'll just show you another event. The first one I showed you was in Wildwood, New Jersey. I just picked that one at random. I'll show you this one right here that Donald Trump gave in Dayton, Ohio. Play the clip.
And I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
And I'll just so you see that I'm not cherry picking and I'm not just, oh, there was two. He does this in every one. This is him in Rome, Georgia. Play the clip.
And I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
A good friend of this program, Stu Wexler, commented on a news group recently that not having mandatory vaccinations for schools would be a catastrophe. Stu pointed out that vaccine fear accounted for something like 230,000 deaths in America from COVID. But of course, if you want to hear it from Trump, you'll find out that the reason we have a vaccine was, you know, undoubtedly due to all those long hours that he put into the lab at CDC, helping those scientists develop the new technology. As you will no doubt find out when you hear the next clip, wherein Trump is his usual modest self.
So I have a Democrat friend who's very smart. Hopefully he votes for me, but he's very smart. He said, I don't understand one thing about you. I watch your rallies. They're incredible. You talk about beating ISIS. You talk about taxes. You talk about regulation. You talk about everything. But you never said that. I've never heard you talk about how the incredible job you did with the vaccines, because as you know, I got them done in 9 months, and it was supposed to take anywhere from 5 to 12 years. I broke their ass, okay? And you know who doesn't like me too much? The FDA, because they were very bureaucratic, and I got it done. And he said, you may have saved in the world, throughout the world, 100 million people, and you never talk about it. I said, I really don't want to talk about it, because as a Republican, it's not a great thing to talk about, because for some reason, it's just not.
For some reason?
Yeah, for some reason, because people love the vaccines and people hate the vaccines, but conservatives aren't. And I understand both sides of it, by the way. I understand both sides very well. What I didn't do is the mandates.
You know, what we don't understand is why this Trump is only taking credit for saving 100 million lives. There are 8 billion people on planet Earth. And we look forward to the day when he tries to claim that he saved all 8 billion lives. He closes off noting that mandates are what the problem comes with vaccines. But, you know, going back to what Stu said, if we don't vaccinate kids before they go to school and just let it sort of be an option of the parents, well, we'll soon be saying hello to polio and measles. Speaking of measles, I believe RFK went down to Samoa a couple years ago and gave him a big talking to about how a measles vaccine were such a bad idea. And apparently they fell off in the vaccination program. And as a result, there were something like 80 fatalities from measles. But the truth is, measles is fatal in about 1 out of every 1,000 cases. Anyway, you just heard Ben Mycelis a couple months ago talking about phone conversations between RFK and DJT, but, well, obviously, this needs an update since the endorsement. And, well, Mr. McMillan?
The definition of a charlatan is a person falsely claiming to have a special knowledge or skill. also known as a fraud. The definition of a malignant narcissist is a personality type that causes extreme narcissism, aggression, and sometimes abuse of others. A person may use manipulative means or violence to enhance their own sense of well-being. Charlatan, meet malignant narcissist. Malignant narcissist, meet charlatan. Donald Trump and the whole MAGA world is bragging that they got the endorsement of charlatan RFK Jr. Charlatan RFK Jr. is putting his arm around Donald Trump after Vice President Kamala Harris refused to take his phone call because she recognized that he is a total fraud. But I want to just show you with the receipts how MAGA feels about RFK, how RFK feels about MAGA, and you can judge for yourself if those definitions I read at the beginning fit, or if you have another definition, form your own opinion. Let me show you what Donald Trump had previously said about RFK Jr. Here's what Donald Trump posted not too long ago in April of 2024. Donald Trump writes, RFK Jr. is a Democrat plant, a radical left liberal who's been put in place in order to help crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, get reelected. A vote for RFK Jr. would essentially be a wasted protest vote that could swing either way, but would only swing against the Democrats if Republicans knew the true story about him. RFK Jr. is totally anti-gun, an extreme environmentalist who makes the green new scammers look conservative, a big-time taxer, an open border advocate, and anti-military vet. As our editor-in-chief Ron Filipkowski says, these people, RFK Jr., Donald Trump, MAGA, charlatan, malignant narcissism world, these people believe in nothing except their own ambition, greed, and the acquisition of power. Here is Ronnie Jackson, one of Donald Trump's top surrogates, saying the following. RFK is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He hates our conservative movement and thinks people from red states are ignorant and violent. Don't be fooled this November, Trump 2024. Here is Donald Trump's spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt. Here, not too long ago, she called RFK Jr. a radical leftist. Play the clip.
RFK Jr. is a radical leftist. He campaigned for Obama and Hillary in the past election cycles. He supports a 70% income tax on the American people. His energy agenda is more on brand with communist China than the United States of America. He's a radical leftist.
Here, Caroline Leavitt, Donald Trump's spokesperson, 3 months ago, calls RFK Jr. a communist. Play the clip.
RFK Jr. supports a national federal smart grid that would control how long we can keep the lights on in our homes, how long we can keep the water on. That is communism, not capitalism. President Trump opposes that, and I think the American people do.
Here, 3 months ago, Sean Hannity trashes RFK Jr., listing all of the horrible things about him. But now, Sean Hannity apparently loves RFK Jr. Play the clip.
RFK Jr. Now, this is the same guy that wants to eliminate all drilling, all fracking, endorsed Bernie Sanders' climate plan called the he called the NRA a, quote, terrorist group. He wants to transform police. He's praised the radical, rabid, anti-Semite, and racist Louis Farrakhan. He endorsed, Al Gore, John Kerry, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and claimed the 2004 election was stolen. Worst of all, he actually blamed America for Osama bin Laden's terror attacks on a radio show he co-hosted in 2014.
Here is Stephen Miller, not too long ago, saying that RFK Jr. is an extremist. Play the clip.
His climate extremism is well documented and well known. He would shut down all fossil fuels. He would abolish drilling, and he would put significant taxes on carbon emissions that would crush the economy.
I think here is a Trump campaign ad that was running very recently. RFK, radical effing Kennedy, 70% income tax, supports new Green Deal, supports gun confiscation. It's what the Trump campaign was saying about him recently. Here, by the way, is Don Jr. saying RFK thinks hog farmers are a greater threat than terrorists. Play the clip.
I have a very large bacon cheeseburger, and that's an affront to our political enemies. RFK, who thinks hog farmers are a greater threat to Americans and to the world, apparently, than Islamic terrorists.
Here, Don Jr. is saying RFK Jr. is America last. Play the clip.
When it counted, RFK Jr. was America last. He's been that way for a very long time. But now we can change our entire policy. It's almost like it's yet another PSYOP, folks. I'm shocked. Shocked to see this. He started magically appearing in my social media feeds from people I don't follow about, you know, a year ago. And it was all conservative stuff. And yet, if you actually look into the record, and let's just remember, he's an actual Kennedy. It's not like they haven't been political for a long time. It's not like he didn't talk on these subjects. You don't change your entire worldview in a matter of a few weeks.
Here, Don Jr. attacks RFK Jr. and says that RFK Jr. thinks all Republicans are murderers. Play the clips.
Have you seen how he talks about Republicans? He thinks we're murderers.
Red state people are more likely to murder you, to impregnate your teenage daughter, to commit a violent crime against.
Here is another segment from Hannity on RFK Jr., basically saying RFK Jr. is a monster because of his views on reproductive rights. Play the clip.
No, I wouldn't leave it to the states.
Wouldn't, right.
No, I would.
He would say completely, it's up to the woman.
My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have government involved.
Even if it's full term.
Even if it's full term.
Even a full term abortion. Apparently, this was a surprise to his running mate, far left attorney Nicole Shanahan.
Here, Donald Trump is at an NRA convention, and he says that RFK Jr. believes that you are all terrorists. Play the clip.
RFK Jr. says bad, bad things. He calls you a terrorist group, and I call you the backbone of America. That's a big difference, wouldn't you?
So, again, let's talk about what went down. After the shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania, before Donald Trump called the widow of the individual who was killed, well before he called her, although President Biden called her, Donald Trump called RFK, and he was trying to get RFK to join him and endorse him because he was very desperate. RFK didn't do that. Instead, RFK called Vice President, at that point he called Biden, and then recently tried to contact Vice President Kamala Harris. They both ignored him. Another W for them, another W. Here again, RFK is in his own words. Play the clip.
And interfering with our elections. Following my first discussion with President Trump, I tried unsuccessfully to open similar discussions with Vice President Harris. Vice President Harris declined to meet or even to speak with me.
Well, folks, there you have it from the horse's mouth. Although in referring to RFK Jr., I would refer another part of the horse's anatomy. Anyway, was he whoring himself around to the highest bidder? Well, evidently so. By the way, as I say this, I look down at a piece from last week's program, a quote we had from The Atlantic, talking about how why RFK Jr. might now hurt Trump. Well, I think we should point out to John Hendrickson writing for The Atlantic that the MAGA people need not trouble themselves about that anymore. Back to Ben.
And as our editor-in-chief, Ron Filipkowski, said, yes, after Trump called him and offered him a job, shady RFK Jr. demurred, then secretly called the Harris campaign to see if they would make him a better offer. But since he's a nut job, Harris refused to speak with him. So he went back to the guy willing to make a deal with him. That is what went down. And now you have Don Jr. posting the following, Save America. And then there's a black man with big muscles that says DJT. And then a white male with big muscles that say RFK Jr. And as our editor-in-chief, Ron Filipkowski, says, so Trump is a buff black guy now? Little bit of a weird thing for a son to post about dad, but I don't want to be the judge. Now RFK Jr. is deleting all of his posts about the NRA, like this one where RFK Jr. posted, let's be honest, the NRA is as responsible for child murders as they pulled the trigger. NRA has turned the Second Amendment into a suicide pact for our children. When do we deal with the NRA? He's taken down this post. Parkland students are right. The NRA is a terror group. So as our editor-in-chief Ron Filipkowski says, so let me get this straight. So RFK Jr. is endorsing a candidate for president who agrees with every single position that terrorist groups advocate for? Okay. Here's RFK Jr. Talking about how I have a lot of conversations with dead people. Here, RFK Jr. said people who were in the Tea Party movement, which was a precursor to MAGA, are racist who don't want a black person to be president. Play this clip.
They don't want a black person to be president of the United States. And I'm just telling the truth. You know, Clive Bundy did not surprise me. I knew that this whole Tea Party movement came out of the nostalgia for a plantation economy. That's where it came from. Why is it that they all came out of those dozen southern states that were part of the Confederacy? This is the resurgence of the Confederacy.
Well, you know, that's one point we can agree upon with Bobby. That the Confederacy does not represent the heartland of the GOP. But alas, he spoils our synergy pretty rapidly. Mr. McMillan?
Here's RFK Jr. exactly 1 year ago saying if he ever dropped out to run with Trump, his wife would divorce him. Play this clip.
So naturally, there's been calls for Trump to pick you to be his running mate. If Donald Trump picked up the ball right now, asked you to be his vice president, would you say yes?
No.
And why?
First of all, I would be getting a divorce from my wife. And second,
here's RFK Jr. saying that people in politics who deny climate change, like Trump, are contemptible human beings. Play the clip.
Should be enjoying three hots and a cot at the Hague with all the other war criminals who are there.
What about politicians, people who deny, who express skepticism?
I think they're selling out the public trust. And, you know, I think those guys who are doing the Koch brothers' bidding and who are against all the evidence of the rational mind are saying that global warming doesn't exist, that they are contemptible human beings, and that, you know, I wish that there were a law you could punish them under.
So I think you get the point. Why I'm bringing out all of those receipts is so you can judge for yourself what is really going on here. And as I say, when you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. That's why I give you the definition of a charlatan. I give you the definition of malignant narcissism that's embodied in both of these individuals. They are out for themselves. And what this election is about is we the people versus a oligarchical class that wants to subjugate we the people, and they want to divide us and pit us against each other. Let me leave you with this from Adam Kinzinger, a man who has put country over party. Here is Kinzinger explaining that, look, Republicans, right now there's only one pro-democracy party and candidate, and it's the Democrats, and it's Vice President Kamala Harris. This is a Republican Congress member with principles, and I want to show you this at the end, kind of as a way to cleanse this YouTube video as well after showing you Trump and RFK. But to show you what dignity looks like, here, play the clip.
And tonight, as a Republican speaking before you, I'm putting our country first. Because the fact is, I do belong here. I know Kamala Harris shares my allegiance to the rule of law, the Constitution, and democracy. And she is dedicated to upholding all three in service to our country. Whatever policies we disagree on pale in comparison with those fundamental matters of principle, of decency, and of fidelity to this nation. Listen, to my fellow Republicans, if you still pledge allegiance to those principles, I suspect you belong here too, because democracy knows no party. It's a living, breathing ideal that defines us as a nation. It's the bedrock that separates us from tyranny. And when that foundation is fractured, we must all stand together, united, to strengthen it. If you think those principles are worth defending, then I urge you, make the right choice. Vote Vote for our bedrock values and vote for Kamala Harris. God bless you.
Well, I'd say we have nothing but admiration for Republican former member of Congress Adam Kinzinger. And finally, to close the show, let's quote from someone that we admire a great deal and has been on the program on many occasions. That would be Greg Palast. Greg is one of our favorite investigative journalists, and he's had pieces in Rolling Stone, the BBC, and has written a couple New York Times bestsellers, which he'll be happy to tell you about. Let me quote from the piece that he posted after the Trump endorsement. Said Greg, "I was on the phone with RFK Jr. when he lost his mind. My friend's brain decayed in front of my eyes. This is painful," he says. "This is horrible and feels a bit like a betrayal, but I have no choice. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was my friend and co-author. We wrote stories together for Rolling Stone. Bobby introduced my New York Times bestseller and wrote a chapter for Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And with Jesse Jackson, we co-authored the number one selling adult single-issue comic book of all time, Steal Back Your Vote. But then Bobby lost his mind. It was truly scary. In 2012, Bobby had arranged a press conference about the Deepwater Horizon's explosion. 11 oil rig workers were incinerated in the blowout of a British petroleum drilling rig in the Gulf of Mexico. The Palace Investigations team discovered that 17 months before that oil rig blew out in the Gulf, British Petroleum suffered an identical blowout in the Caspian Sea. The oil company, with the connivance of then-Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, covered it up. It was a hell of a story, which I broadcast on primetime in Britain and Europe. I wrote a book about it, Vulture's Picnic. Here's where Bobby comes in, and it gets weird. On the second anniversary of the blowout, Bobby, a professor of environmental law, arranged for a major press conference to expose this story of BP's blood-encrusted perfidy. But then he canceled the press conference, saying he heard the story had been told previously. Well, yes, it had. You told it. Bobby, I was on the radio with you for an hour discussing the blowout and its cover-up. Bobby had a national radio show, Ring of Fire. He reviewed my book about the story, and strangest of all, Bobby was on my Democracy Now! Report about the blowout. That Bobby had forgotten all these things was frightening, as if Leonardo DiCaprio had forgotten he was in a film about the Titanic. Our investigator, Lenny Badpenny, was listening in, and she began to make frantic cutoff gestures to end the call with him. End it now. Something's wrong with him, or he's just a jerk. I don't know, but something's really wrong, and you don't want your reputation destroyed by standing next to him when it goes wrong in public. Promise me we will never work with him, never see him again. I think he's dangerous. I really do. This was difficult for her to say, as she never got over being a bit starstruck in his presence. But she insisted, stay away from him. He's becoming untrustworthy, and he's getting crazier and crazier. This was not the first incident. Bobby was a strong guy in his late 50s, talking like a 92-year-old in a nursing home trying to remember his first date. Since then, we found out that Bobby had a worm in his brain, a real, live, physical critter that somehow got inside his skull. I'm not sure about the connection, because I'm not a brain surgeon. That year, in 2012, his wife, Mary Kennedy, after a call to him, hung herself. That could mess with anyone's head. But in this case, the tabloids were blaming her suicide on him, a cruel and unjustified attack that had to make it an even heavier psychological burden. What I liked about Bobby, and Bobby liked about me, was that we were always skeptical of official stories. After all, his own dad famously admitted to making up cockamamie lies about Vietnam to waltz us into that war. We bonded over rejecting BS from the government and its servile plutocracy. But there was a big difference between us. He thought every official story was BS, but I needed to see the bull. I was and remain a big-time believer in show me the facts, but facts didn't seem to get in the way of Bobby's attraction to plain wacko conspiracy theories. Example, we co-authored articles for Rolling Stone about racial vote suppression. In my book, Armed Madhouse, my chapter, Carry One, described the physical evidence of ballots disqualified. Enough rejections of black voters' ballots in Ohio to re-elect George W. Bush. This is hard evidence. But Bobby jumped into an evidence-free crazy world in a cringeworthy article for Rolling Stone speculating about voting machines that magically switched Kerry votes to Bush. Bobby mistook the potential to cheat with actual evidence. I bit my tongue and said nothing. Later, his knee-jerk reaction against COVID vaccines was the result of the attack of his reasoned questions raised in the film Vax about MMR vaccines laced with mercury. The film successfully got Big Pharma to remove the mercury. But Bobby, having been savaged by the industry, now became Mr. Anti-Vax, opposing anything injected by a needle, except, it appears, steroids to build muscle. I'm no fan of Big Pharma, but I need proof, and his only proof was to accuse Big Pharma and the FDA of being liars. Now they are, but still, that's not proof. The last time I heard from Bobby, it was after midnight on Election Day 2016. Greg, what happened? When my plane left JFK, Hillary had won. I landed in L.A. and Trump won. What happened? What happened, Bobby? We wrote a book about it. I had reissued an updated version of my book, The Best Democracy Money Could Buy, which included his intro and a chapter he'd written. The book, which is on the Times bestseller list, detailed exactly how Trump would take the election from Hillary through voter suppression trickery in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Did he forget his own book? I admit, I feel terrible about revealing these things, but our democracy truly is in the balance. Bobby dropped out of the race today in favor of Trump. Is it the brilliant environmental law professor who's endorsing Trump? Or is it the worm? Well, Greg, we'll just have to speculate on that, and we do look forward to bringing him back on this program to talk about this and whatever else he's been up to, because Greg Palast doesn't let grass grow below his feet. That about does it. This program was produced by Edward McMillan. You've been listening to Radio Parallax. I'm Douglas Everett. On next week's program, we're going to speak with Stephen Harper, and in doing so, we're going to take up Trump on his question posed to the electorate. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And spoiler alert, the answer to that is yes. We'll see you then.